Well, hey, everyone. It's your buddy Pete from Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. And this evening, we have a special guest. We're going to do an interview. And boy, we haven't done one of those in a number of years. I think Mark Bailey was maybe the last guy we did. Anywho, we sit down tonight with game creator and Central Ohio native Jordan McLaughlin. Now, Jordan has produced a number of games. The one that we played was called Don't Get Stabbed. And it is a super fun party game. One of the players is a killer, and the rest of us are trying to escape in the car. And it's a really fast-paced card game where you go around the table and you cooperatively help each other out and try to avoid getting stabbed by the bad guy. Really, it's a hoot to play, and I highly recommend it. Jordan reached out to us last November, and we just had to have him on. So we worked things out, and yeah, we got to sit down with him, and he gets to talk about his journey from his first creation all the way to owning his own business over at RookieMage.com. So yeah, go over to RookieMage.com. Like I said, the website will be in the show notes, of course. Check out all the other games he has to offer. Toward the end of the interview, he pimps his latest and greatest game that he's created called Nuns with Nunchucks. And the way he describes it sounds exactly like something this podcast needs to do. So I know he's going to have a launch party. I'll include that information in the show notes as well. So you're all welcome to come out to the launch party later on this year. Anyway, before I start talking in circles, let's just get right into the interview. So without further ado, here's Jordan McLaughlin.
The Good Beer, Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Welcome to Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. We have a special edition tonight. My name is Pete, and we have a creator here with us, and we're very excited to talk to him. But before we get to our guest tonight, I want to introduce the cast. Troy, how you doing, buddy?
Excellent. How you doing tonight, Pete?
You're already making fun of me, I can tell. This is great.
You're doing great, Pete. You're doing great.
I know. So I don't have my script in front of me, so this is going to be an absolute train wreck. Anyway,
from your mind.
I know it's terrible. I can't do it. There's nothing up here, man. So, anywho, joining us for the very first time, we have James. James is a super fan of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night. Anyway, he is a board game expert. So say hello, James. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Hi, guys. Hello, everybody. This is a dream come true. I'm listening to the podcast for a while, especially every time I take plane trips. I'm like, okay, this is the only thing that's going to save on my phone, so let's do it. And right. It's wonderful every single time. So glad to be here. Absolutely glad.
Thanks for coming on, James. We are looking forward to your input for sure. And then, of course, the guest of honor this evening, all the way from New Albany, Ohio, born and bred here in Central Ohio, I think.
Yes.
Anyway, creator, artist, game guy, horror fan. What else can I say? It's Jordan McLaughlin. Good evening, Jordan. Thank you so much for finally we got together and we're able to talk here on Good Beer, Bad Movie Night.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you reached out to us, I think, in, what was it, November or October?
Probably around there.
Yeah. And it was just at the wrong time for us to get together right away. And, well, we finally found some time to talk about this. So what we're talking about tonight is a card game called Don't Get Stabbed. We recently played this. Now, before we get into all that, this was your first game. You funded this through Kickstarter, correct?
Yeah, I got it funded in 2019.
Wow.
Around this time of that year. But yeah, it was my first game. Kind of started working at it like towards the end of 2018-ish. Kind of took over my life for a couple months.
I would imagine.
And right. Then until I finally got a Kickstarter, and then, you know, it's been a wild ride ever since.
So what was I'm sure you're asked this all the time, what put the bug in your butt bugging your butt to do this. I mean, this game is adorable, and it's fun, and it's fast paced. What pushed you over the edge to get these creative juices going and starting something crazy like this, like making a game?
So, like, I had never occurred to me to get into board games, card games, or anything like that. I had always kind of been made fun of as the weird creative one in the family. like when I was a kid, when we would have family events, I would write plays and make my cousins act out the plays in front of everyone. Yeah? And they tried to make fun of me, but like, I know they had tons of fun. So like, you know, they try to rub it in my face. It doesn't work anymore. but like, I'd always, you know, kind of wanted to do something on my own that was creative. But I just thought, yo, maybe you should like try to write a movie script. Well, turns out I'm not a very good writer. maybe you should like, you know, get into art or write a comic book. I'm like, well, I'm not a very good artist either. So like for the longest time, like I have like these creative ideas and stuff, but like I could never really kind of get them out onto something that was, you know, consumable, physical, out in the world. So then I was over at my cousin's and we were just having a game night, and my one cousin just leaned over me. She's like, you know, you should make one of these. And it was just like a light went off of like, yeah, yeah, I fucking should.
Yes.
Am I allowed to cuss on your podcast? I just did.
Goddamn right.
Oh, okay. No. Goddamn it.
Just checking. I've been, what's the beep buttoned on me many times on other podcasts. So I should have checked before.
Bring it on. This is a game for all ages, yes. But this is an adult podcast.
Yes. All right. Well, so my cousin just said this to me, and I had had more than my fair share of beers that evening. And like, it just took over my head of that was the only thing I could think about for the next several weeks. On the ride home, my fiance was driving me, and I'm just talking out loud, I'm sure very loudly, about how I'm going to call it Don't Get Stabbed, and it's going to do this, and you're going to have one player the killer and everyone else's victims. And for weeks, everyone was just kind of like, yeah, okay, Jordan, huh, sure. Just like placating me of like, no, this is a thing. I'm going to make it a thing. So you always know
it's a good idea if it lasts through the hangover.
Exactly. Like if you wake up and it's still a great idea, that means or a good idea, it means it's a fantastic idea.
That's right.
So I ordered some blank poker cards, got a bunch of magic markers, and just went to work trying to create something. So it was a couple weeks later, like the same group kind of got back together, and I warned them all, like, okay, I have a game, we're playing it. And we kind of all went a couple rounds, and then everyone's like, you know, this is actually a thing that works, and nice. You should pursue this. So then it was full steam, getting art done, you know, figuring out instructions, figuring out actually how to get it funded, get it made. So it's been crazy.
So wait, so this is your first game?
Yeah, Don't Get Stabbed is my first one.
Because there are several games on a website that I have been scrolling through called RookieMage.com.
Yes.
That appear to all be yours. So
those are all mine. So I'm up to seven.
How quickly do you develop these things?
They're kind of all over the place. Like some games have taken me like a year and a half or so to kind of really get them in a spot. Some games like took 2 to 3 months of just,
oh, really?
it was just once I get like the clear cut idea of what it is in my head, then it's just go through the process, get it done, get something put together. And cause it's always easier to edit than it is to create. So create something, even if it's crap, and then spend more time editing it and you're finally get something that's good. So it's just once that light bulb goes off, make it real quick before you lose it, and then you can edit from there.
I like that. I like that advice a lot, actually. I really like the sound of that, because I have so much problems just trying to create, and I get stuck on the creative part, because it's like, no, this sucks. And it's like, yeah, still put it out there. Why not?
First drafts always suck. That's the point.
That's why they're called a first draft, you know? So we did get to play this. We had a movie night over here at my place. We watched a movie called Crabs, which if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend. It's an independent film. Totally go see it. But anyway, before we watched Crabs, James kind of ran the game. He read through the instructions and we had a ball. We kind of rotated people in and out. We played three or four games And it was wonderful because it was fun and it was quick and it was easy to pick up and it made us all laugh. It made us all laugh a lot. It actually made us scream at times. Like, I think Troy was dying and someone's like, I got a card. Hold on. Yeah. Oh, it was great.
I have a complaint though.
Okay.
Oh. I was killed every time. Every
you
time.
Were killed every
I've
time.
I've always said I'm first dead in a horror movie and it's just yep. proved it. James killed me.
Yes, you were the murderer, James.
I did start off as a murderer. Was I murderer every time? I think I was every
yep.
time. Yeah.
Yeah, we let you run
that guy.
Show.
We trusted you to run it.
Jordan, I really like the fact, like, for your first game out, man. I was looking around when I was kind of researching a little bit. Just of the many questions I have, the first thing I want to ask is, did you notice that Smosh Games, one of the biggest YouTube channels out there, did a video? I assume you did. Yeah. I'm just asking rhetorically. Yeah. I just saw that and I was like, dude, 1.1 million views. Everyone's seeing that game.
Wow.
How'd you feel?
That was like the weirdest day because they dropped out on a Sunday. I had never talked to any of them. I had no clue that they were doing anything.
Wow.
The only hint that I had was some executive associate producer followed me on Twitter like a couple weeks before. And I'm like, oh, it's the Smosh guy. That's kind of cool. Moved on, never thought about it again. So, you know, that Sunday, I'm just kind of like sitting on the couch and like I got logged into like my Amazon app on my phone and I'm like, my sales are through the roof.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah. I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, what the fuck is happening? Like, I mean, awesome, but what the fuck? Because whatever I did, I would like to do it some more because exactly. apparently that's working. So I went all day and I could not figure out what was going on, but like I was getting into hundreds and hundreds of them sold. And like typically a good day for me before was 12. So when I was doing hundreds and hundreds of like something somewhere happened and I'm eventually going to figure it out. So I it was probably 8 o'clock at night by that point, and I literally just logged in to YouTube on my phone so we could watch some YouTube videos as we kind of chilled out for the night, and then pops Smosh playing Don't Get Stabbed, and I'm just like, holy
oh my
crap
gosh.
That's it. And I couldn't watch the video at first because I was like so nervous.
I feel like anyone would be. It's like, oh yeah. I don't want to see someone's reaction to my creation in real time. Like, oh god.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking because like, okay, hopefully they played it correctly. Hopefully they don't just like shit on it the entire time. Hopefully they liked it. So like finally I like, it was took a day or two and I'm like, all right, you just got to sit down and watch this. Cause you have to be a professional and know what people are saying about your product. So you have to sit down and watch it. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, it was really kind of like the turning point of, okay, this is really a thing, not just something I'm pursuing. This is now something that's happening.
That's fantastic, man.
Because like, you know, and I reached out to them. Like they actually played the Unseen. They are getting a copy of Nuts with Nunchucks, so maybe they'll play that. So like, I've kind of got a little relationship going with them because like, you know, of course I'm gonna try to get on their good side.
Yeah.
And they know that, you know, it's a small business and stuff, and they're like, that's awesome stuff. We're gonna help you where we can. So, It was very weird watching people who you've seen on YouTube for 10 years.
Oh yeah, you can
suddenly
since the early days
interacting with something that you made.
Yeah,
it was surreal.
It's a dream come true. That's amazing.
Yeah. Congratulations, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, and they seemed to like it. Honestly, I was watching a video and they didn't. I mean, I don't. I'll be honest. I don't watch too much Smosh nowadays, so I don't know. They do the same thing a lot of YouTubers do, where they cut out the chaff in between and just kind of get to the good parts to make like a nice snappy video. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it seemed like they, you know, it wasn't like they were struggling to come up with anything good to say about it. They were actually having genuine fun reactions to it. So that had to be exhilarating to see once you finally got around to seeing it. Like,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, they. I know they play it on their Twitch channel like every Halloween now. They record live and put it on Twitch, and then what you see on YouTube is like that
is the compressed Twitch stream. Yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
So sometimes to warm up, they're just play like another game, and for Halloween they've been doing Don't Get Stabbed.
That is awesome.
How cool.
Oh yeah. Man, you're like you're like the holiday special for them. It keeps coming back every year.
It's like the Great Pumpkin.
Yes. That's fantastic, man. Not to bogart questions or anything, but like, man, like, so I didn't, because you did say some of these games, you know, just take a couple of months. And like I noticed, and if Board Game Geek is telling me correctly, The Unseen and Zombies Want Pizza, same year. Oh Nuts, yep. Portal Potties, same year. Which ones were the 3-month games and which ones were the year and a half games out of those?
Zombies Want Pizza was the shortest one, and it's the simplest one. Like, it's a game made for kids. Basically, at that point, all the games that I had made, my nieces and nephews weren't allowed to play. And sure. I'm pretty sure they were going to start vandalizing my, like, property if I didn't start making something they were allowed to. So Zombies Want Pizza was the first thing I made of, like, here, like, spare me. Here's the game that I made for you. I've got other stuff coming, but this is that one. And the mechanics are pretty simple, so like it didn't require like the level of play testing some of the other stuff does.
Gotcha.
And especially like with the kids games and family games have a lot more luck in them than more adult oriented games, or
naturally.
Like you get to Catan or above, so your play testing becomes less and less important when it relies more on luck, and the mechanics are pretty simple.
For sure, for sure.
Then you have a game like The Unseen. That one was actually probably the longest because it's a social deduction game, so it relies mainly more on human behavior than anything that I can actually force people to do for interaction with the cards in the game. So that one just takes longer because you have to get a group together to do it. You have to sit there and watch them for hours and hours on end and make sure they're doing it right. But also understanding of like, some people don't get social deduction games, and it doesn't matter what you say, they just don't do it. If there's not a card saying do this, they don't get it. So you gotta account for that, realize, okay, is it something that needs changed, or is it just I have a different target audience for this game than maybe what I thought it was.
Right.
So they're kind of all over the place. The Unseen is probably the longest. Second longest was probably Nuns with Nunchucks, and that's just because it was in my like kind of production list. I don't know. Things of like I wanted to make. It got started early, but it kept kind of getting moved back as other things kind of became more priority. And then Nuns with Nunchucks finally got to a point of like, okay, this has to be the priority because it's such a larger game. It requires more resources. So I had to build up resources from the other games to be able to pay for what I'm trying to do with Nuns with Nunchucks.
Wow. It's the magnum opus over here.
Yes.
I'm excited. I would say so far, the only one I've played personally is Don't Get Stabbed. So I think I have a semi-regular game night that I try to get together, and I think I might have to put The Unseen on there at some point. I'm real interested. So
yeah, I've started to explain the Unseen as social deduction social deduction that it's simple enough that drunk people can do it.
Excellent.
Because like those are like I have three basic rules of when I make a game is it has to be different. I don't do like Opolies of just ripping off exactly what someone else does and reskinning it. Mm-hmm. You've got to be able to learn it in like 5 minutes, and drunk people have to be able to do it.
Excellent.
So those are the three things that I do.
Excellent. Excellent. So last question before not to bogart everything, but like, is party games, like, is that kind of your focus for now? Like, do you consider calling your games party games? I should ask that first, actually.
I call them party games. I also call them casual games. That definition gets kind of weird. Some people think party games means simple enough that kind of anyone can join in. Mm-hmm. Some people define party games as having a certain amount of players.
Right.
You can have a large amount and it's okay. I've kind of used the terms interchangeably because everyone else seems to use them interchangeably, and I'm not going to define it for an industry. So,
party games definitely works better for Don't Get Stabbed because it feels weird stabbing my family. But then again, maybe that I was I wrote down the question like, so who did you want to stab that made you create a game so that would actually happen?
Living out the fantasy.
I would say I have a list, but that probably is going to... I'm going to get a visit from the authorities if I say that. But it's kind of like this weird thing of like, I had always loved horror movies. So like when I got with my fiance, he didn't like know horror movies at all. And that was one of the things of like, well, if we're going to make this work, you're going to have to learn to deal with horror movies. So I set about educating him. So like, of like that, you have to, you can't like, my favorite scary movie is Scream. Like that was the first one I ever saw.
Good choice.
Good choice. So solid. He's not going to get it really unless he sees what it's making fun of, I guess, or what it's being all meta about. So like, okay, well, we're going to start on Black Christmas and we're going to work our way up to Halloween. Dang. We're going to go through all the Friday 13ths. You're going to see the highs and the lows of the Friday the 13th series.
You went comprehensive on his ass.
Oh yeah. Like, and he loves them now. Now we watch them all the time. And like he has his own favorites. Like there's ones that I don't like that he loves and we watch them. But like, you know, we had time to spare. So I'm like, I'm educating you. Especially now that I'm making a game about this, you should probably understand the jokes.
This is research. It counts as research.
Right? Exactly. Exactly.
I did like the, so when we played the Ask Who's There. I forget what these cards were called. The combo cards. Yeah, the combo cards. Yeah. These are just, they're just an homage to any wonderful slasher movie we've ever seen. Run up the stairs. These are things to get away from the killer.
Yep.
Cell phone dies, which my two favorite, of course, are get drunk and have sex.
Yes. Those are the two that caused me the biggest problems.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're also the most fun, I think.
Yeah. This whole,
but it was so much fun. And I love the art.
Yeah, I did that art for that one.
Really?
That's what I read in your bio. I thought, oh, you actually drew all this.
I did not know that. Nice.
Yeah, so I did graphic design as part of like my boring marketing job before. So like I had experience with like Illustrator and stuff, but like I have never actually done anything like really hardcore with it. And with it being my first game, I was like, I'm going to have to do this. I can't afford an illustrator. Sure. I've got to figure this out. So I would just, after work, I would go to the public library and sit there and teach myself how to make art. And I went for a style that I thought was possible for me, which I describe as halfway between Scooby-Doo and South Park. Because I understand my limits.
And that's an excellent description.
That's probably
so
as
perfect.
Best as I could get.
Hey man, Smosh liked your art, man. She was like, I like this.
Yeah, it's simple, but tries to, you know, I have a theory that the simpler the art on a game is, the more approachable some people find it to be. Which
100% correct.
Works out well for this. Because, you know, you think about games like Cards Against Humanity, where there's literally nothing on it. And then you think of games like Gloomhaven, which are pieces of art, practically. Mm-hmm. And the level of complication of playing each one of those games is relative to the complication of the art.
Oh, my.
There's some truth there, I think.
Yeah, but while the art is simple, like you said, you weren't a good writer, but you were a very good designer. Like the design of these things are really nice. I was really impressed by just the layout and the way that they worked simply and as they should. Yeah, it was really impressive.
Thanks. Yeah, I was surprised by myself of how well it turned out. It took a while to turn out that well, but I eventually got to a point where like, this is good. People are going to be okay with this. Let's move forward.
Now, is this your art also on the Nuns with Nunchucks that I see on the Kickstarter?
No, for that one, that is from a guy. His name is Creeps McPeeps. If you're ever in Newark, I know. It's fantastic. I just got done doing his website, and every time I type it, I chuckle to myself. But if you're ever in Newark, Ohio, the Dankhouse Brewery, he does all of their artwork.
Oh, yeah, I know Dankhouse.
Yeah. So that's how I found him, is that I went into the brewery when I was in town one day and saw the art, and I'm like, that's exactly the kind of look that I want for Nuts with Nunchucks. So I went and I annoyed the bartender until she gave me his email. And then a couple weeks later, like, yo, he was in the office, we were talking, and he was like, yeah, like, I understand what you're trying to do. And he really did. Like, the amount of edits that we had to do were so minimal. He understood exactly the ridiculousness of what I was trying to do and just hit it out of the park. Anyway, we're going to be working on some future projects together too. So it's nice because it's someone in town. I mean, in town, but, like, you know, close enough. We're like, right. Some of the other artists I've worked with, like, there's, you know, her name's Amanda. She works in Florida. She does amazing art, but also she's in Florida. So sometimes when it's hard to sit down and just sketch out ideas together and stuff because of the distance. But yeah, having someone local and knowing it's a local guy also just helps with the story of the product too, of like, it's not just one local guy. Mm-hmm. There's two local guys working together on something.
You got an inn at the brewery too. That's pretty
exactly.
cool.
We're having a party there for the launch.
Oh, yeah. Well,
So I'll send you an invite if you haven't seen it. So it's
no,
just,
I haven't seen the invite.
Just everyone getting together, having a couple drinks. I will probably be dressed as a nun at some point.
I would hope so.
If you want photos of me dressed as a nun, you can have that.
Excellent. Oh, I saw on your Instagram already. There's a nun with nunchucks pose.
Yes. Yeah, we're I have that. So I will be the nun, and I'm doing a couple things as the nun, as like viral stuff. Like, yeah, I can't give away, but there's the Kickstarter video is like the biggest marketing thing in Kickstarter is your video. So we're working on something. We're recording on Sunday, what I'm calling the battle part, where it's going to be me as the nun versus Abraham Lincoln's evil twin brother, a dinosaur, and a kamikaze Kentuckian. I got smoke bombs. I got like those stunt beer bottles from movies where you can like shatter them over their head and it doesn't hurt.
Oh my gosh.
I got some of those so my friend can bash me in the head with a beer bottle. It's hopefully going to be, it's either going to be amazing or insane. hopefully somewhere a little bit of both.
Fantastic.
We will come with recorders for yes, sure. Absolutely. We'll be there. We'll be there for sure. That's awesome. So I do have to ask, you clearly a horror fan, hit me. Give me a couple of good ones that like, give me one that, you know, everyone likes and then like a secret one that not everyone talks about.
I mean, obviously my favorite is Scream.
Right.
That's easy. I would also say Sleepaway Camp is up there, as
for
probably
sure.
One that most people don't know. They're actually doing like a screening or something of it around here. Like
Felicia, Rose is coming to town to Columbus for that. She's been in town a few times actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran into her at a convention once. I was going to have her sign "Don't Get Stabbed," but I couldn't get away from it.
I feel like Sleepaway Camp is having some kind of resurgence as of late, like being vindicated by history. It keeps showing up on my YouTube recommendations, and people keep talking about it, like as a gem of slasher films. I think I got to see it at this point. So.
Yeah, it's really, it's so kind of like almost cliche through most of it, and then the end, like the twist, like. Mm-hmm. That twist makes M. Night Shyamalan cry and have nightmares because it's just an amazing twist.
It's out of nowhere.
Yeah. And like, it doesn't necessarily need to make sense. It's still just amazing. but like the only reason I know about that movie is because of a show called Robot Chicken.
Oh, sure.
Which was Seth Green. And there's a bit about that, about this movie called Sleepaway Camp that no one remembers, but someone made a bit about it. And like, I was like, all right, well, I don't know what this either. So I'm going to have to look it up. And like, it's fantastic. It's one of those that like, it's one of those ones where if you can appreciate a movie for being kind of bad and ridiculous and just to be fun. It's that type of movie. It's not like a Tom Hanks. It's good because it tugs at your heartstrings type thing. It's
no, this does not
there.
Tug at your heartstrings.
No,
it gets gross. Sleepaway Camp is one of my favorites. I do really enjoy it. That's as far as 80s slashers. That's a really good one.
Yeah,
it is ridiculous, and I enjoy it. I enjoyed it so much. I've seen like what are there four of them? I think.
I think so. Yeah.
I've Sleepaway Camp
first two. I haven't seen.
Yeah, two had Bruce Springsteen's sister in it or something weird like that.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
she was the antagonist or the protagonist, whatever, a little bit of both, I think. Anyway, well, Scream, that's a great one. How did you like the five? Was it five that just came out?
Yes, it was five.
And six is coming out soon.
Yeah, that comes out next week as of when we're recording this, I guess. I enjoyed it. I don't understand the hate behind it.
I don't understand the hate either. It's fine.
Like, yeah, like it's perfectly good Scream. you know, it's meta commentary on the status of horror movies at the time, and it's not a stupid killer. So I don't understand the problem. I don't understand the hate around 4. I think 4 is actually a lot better than what people give it credit
for. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
it's not great, but whatever.
Yeah, like it's, you know, the last like 10 minutes of that are fantastic fun. Once you know who the killer is, I think it's just plain fun after that.
Would you think of the Scream series?
Oh, I went nowhere near that.
No?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even give it a chance.
I had heard such horrible things that I'm like, I'm not going to have my you know, my love be tarnished.
that's
so
fair.
I just avoided it. Maybe I'm sure there's people that think it's probably not that bad, and it probably isn't.
It's got its defenders, but I haven't made it all the way through myself, and I get both sides, honestly, I think, to be quite honest. So.
Yeah, and like I know I think there's 3 seasons, and the first 2, they use a different mask. And like,
totally different mask.
I get it, it's fine, but also like, you're not pulling at my nostalgia to watch you with this mask. Like,
right.
You put the Ghostface mask on something, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. Like, why are we trying to like reinvent the wheel here? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Jordan, I got to ask Dankhouse. Super Brewery. I have had the Super Fantastic. Is that right? Now I gotta look it up. Yeah, Super Fantastic.
I'm looking up now.
I've had the Super Fantastic, and it is super fantastic. What is your favorite beer out there at Dankhouse? And maybe what is an overall? It's not fair to ask people what their favorite beer is, because that's like asking who your favorite dog is. They're all cuddly and wonderful. What's your favorite style of beer, maybe? What do you gravitate towards when you're perusing the aisles?
So for the longest time, my doctor said that I had to not have carbs. So White Claws were my go-to choice
for
a while.
There's no judgment over here, man. You drink what you like.
It's all right. I don't blame you. But my doctor has been a lot more lenient with me. So I will occasionally get an IPA. My fiance, that's all he drinks. And most of my friends are in front of him for being a beer snob.
Oh, no.
But I'm like, well, I can't leave him alone. I guess I have to be a snob, too. So.
We always advocate you drink what you like, whatever that is, and it doesn't matter what that is. Just enjoy yourselves, right?
Yeah, there's gatekeeping everywhere. Like,
there really is.
And games, everyone has it. Just do what you want.
And that is not what we are at Good Beer Bad Movie Night for sure. Hey, hey James, I don't know if I didn't mention this before. James has a YouTube series called Bordello.
Oh yeah,
and it is wonderful.
Aww.
And I wish you would do more, damn it.
I need to get back around to it, absolutely. Yeah, I got a little YouTube series. I started in 2016, and after, God, 7 years, I don't have that many videos up on there. It's been a struggle trying to figure out. I told you before that like one of my big problems in the creative process is not even getting to the part where I edit, because I hate the creative part. Like, I pick apart everything about it so much and just stop myself beforehand because I don't know. I'm afraid of failure, I guess. I don't know. But it's something I've come to grips with recently where I realize that I need to be okay with things not being perfect when they go out there because the more important thing is that it gets out there because the only way you get better is if you do it. And the only true failure is not trying at all. And even though I've known this mantra for many a few years now, it's still a struggle for me to get it out there. But yeah, I got some videos out there. I did review stuff at first. And then I realized after watching channels like Shut Up and Sit Down and stuff, I had no business trying to do reviews. So I moved on to skit videos instead. Plug. Bordello on YouTube. Check it out. Spelled like a bordello, but the board part is like board games. It's a pun, you see. So
nice. it's like getting something out into the world is very stressful. Mm-hmm. And like, I totally understand the fear of failure, because like it's a constant thing of like what is it called, the crap, now I can't think of it, imposter syndrome of and like all that stuff that people talk about is totally real, but what I've learned after failing multiple times on different things is the people that make fun of you if you fail are the people that have never done a damn thing. The people that care about you are the ones that will try to make it work and will be proud of you for doing something.
Wise words. Absolutely wise words.
So do it.
I should. And just to put this out there, too, like I have, of course, most people who play board games, and I kind of run on a more hardcore board game circle a little bit over here in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Of course, I've got it in my mind that I kind of want to make my own board game at some point.
Ooh.
The only problems, of course, is the one I already mentioned, and then the other part is like I got no skill or business attempting to try to act like I know how to balance a game. And the other problem is that the game I have in mind is a super complicated one that I really shouldn't be trying to go first. But making board games is a very pleasant just fantasy for a lot of people who do play board games. You know what I mean? Because it's like designing a board game has its own, you know, obviously it has its challenges, but you don't have to learn how to take a computer apart and put that together like you do if you know how to program video games, for example, in order to design a game with board gaming. And, you know, if you just enjoy the art of it alone, there's just so many things that you feel like, you know, you could do right with this game if you make it. You know what I mean? You told us your story about how you got started and just how you got it going. And I really respect the part where you said that you just shuttered yourself in a library as often as you could. Just so you could actually get this process going, and I really relate to that because it's just like you gotta make yourself do it, you know, like really respectful.
Yeah, like it's one of the things of like as I've because like I do this full time now, like this is my job.
It's amazing,
People are always kind of like, oh wow, you get to play games all day, and I'm like, I get to play games 10% of my day. The other 90% is the same boring business crap that you have to deal with. Like, I got to do sales reports. I've got to do a product roadmap. Like, all that stuff's still there. And, like, you still have to figure it out. But that 10% is pretty great. So, you know, it's amazing. I'm definitely not complaining. It's just there's so much more to this than just making a game. Like, you have to run a business.
Absolutely.
Which has been very struggling. Some part, I was like, I worked in marketing before, but like, I didn't understand sales. I didn't understand accounting. I'm still not going to pretend to say that I know accounting. I make someone else deal with that, and then they just send me a bill.
Right.
But like, you still have to figure all that stuff out of like, you know, search engine optimization, all that different kind of things that are boring business things. They all still exist.
Right.
But the allure of getting to make something that you want to make and being proud of, like you took something out of your head and made it physical and putting it out into the world is, you know, more rewarding than selling whatever China piece of crap your business runs. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Jordan, we have a friend who does streaming full time, gaming on Twitch, and he tells some fascinating stories. Like, you know, people think I just play games all day, but I think he even made a video. Did he make a video, Troy, where he's like, what people think I do? And he kind of just walks up to his computer and starts banging away and starts playing. And what he really does is he gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning and does his social media. He plays whatever game he's playing for 8 hours. And then for another 6 hours, he does more social media and promotion. It's like, oh, my God, that sounds like a nightmare. Yep. But he's making a living doing it. So good for him. And I'm so impressed. My wife opened a business many years ago. And just to see that process, how she took it from an idea to a brick and mortar, is fascinating to me. And you doing the same thing is infinitely impressive. And now you're doing it full time. That's astounding how you can bring a dream can come true, whether this wasn't your dream from a childhood. But this probably is kind of like a dream come true, I would imagine.
Oh yeah. Like being able to wake up and like set my own schedule for the day of like, you know, I really don't want to do this, so I'll just do it tomorrow, and that's okay, as long as it eventually gets done.
As long as it gets done, right?
God, yeah, that sounds better than sex.
You haven't had sex in a while, have you, James?
She's long distance. So I actually wanted to ask Jordan, like, there are two things that people in the board game community like to refer to whenever they want to act like they know how the entire board game industry works. But are actually good things to listen to. One is the Ludology podcast, and the other is Jamie Stegmeier from Stonemeyer Games. He has a lot of videos that like he peels back the curtain on how he does this stuff. Did you, first of all, do you know about either of those two things? And second, did you use any of either of those as inspiration at all by any chance?
I know of the Stonemeyer one. Mm-hmm. And I believe they had an online guide of how to get your board game produced.
Yeah.
That was a big resource for me.
Oh, no shit.
Learning everything.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure it was them that did it. It's been a couple years.
He definitely has had at least a video or two or an article or two about, like, again, because he tries to be like, oh, step by step, here it is. There's no mystery to it kind of thing, for sure.
Yeah, like, it's all process. Like, you know, like I said, it's the same boring stuff that you deal with in any business. Just you build it into a process to make it happen. There's a bunch of like Facebook groups, of different like indie creators and stuff that like share their resources, share stuff like that of like processes, you know, ideas of how to reach out to retailers. Those were like huge resources for me, especially in the beginning of, I have no fucking clue what I'm doing. So someone help me. So like they, like the community of like designers and stuff is amazing. Like there's a couple that I wouldn't say I'm like super friends with, but like, you know, there's one who she does a lot of like homeless charity stuff. And she knows that anytime that she's working on a new homeless shelter and they need games, to text me and I throw them in the mail and send them over.
Excellent.
So like there's a lot of different kind of like community building and stuff that happens with a lot of the indie, I call them indie, but mm-hmm. smaller publishers. So it's kind of been nice of like, cause like, you know, I work, you know, by myself. So like I get kind of lonely. So I had to make some board game friends.
You can always give us a holler. We'll always go to happy hour with you.
Is that the way a lot of the indie companies are that you've met? Like, is it just one guy banging away in his basement getting these things out?
Yeah, a lot of them are that way. Because you're good to like trade shows or conventions, like GalaxyCon, different types of like horror cons and stuff. And there's always, especially like for the horror ones, there's like always the same group. So whenever one of us, you know, has been sitting there for 6 hours having to go to the restroom, we're like watch each other's booths. You know, we all normally kind of get grouped together, so we all kind of know each other. I know some of them traveled together and shared hotel rooms. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Having to spend 6 hours in the car with me. But like all of them kind of team up to get stuff done that needs done. They're all about helping each other. Like, If someone is interested in my game and they say they're kind of more interested in something like this, and I know Jeff, you know, two ones down, he has something like that, I'm going to send him to Jeff because, sure. You know, we all kind of help each other. you know,
that'll pay dividends in the long run. For
exactly.
Sure.
And like, yeah. you know, we give advice, we give honest feedback of, yeah, that's a great idea. Or I have no clue how you would make that work, but if you want to do it, you go right ahead. So it's nice having, you know, an industry that isn't super competitive. That's more about, you know, we can all lift each other up and destroy Hasbro.
Destroy.
Speaking of
the
conventions, are you headed to any conventions this year? Or anything on the schedule?
My biggest thing is Gen Con, which is in Indianapolis, yep. which is like the largest yep. gaming one. I typically do a lot of horror conventions, just because of the nature of the game of Don't Get Stabbed. It does pretty well there.
Horrorhound, maybe.
I've been trying to get into Horrorhound for like 3 years.
Yeah, I've been there a couple of times. Days of the Dead is a good one.
I've been there as like a patron, but not there as a vendor.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Horrorfest down in Kentucky. I went to Days of the Dead in Indianapolis.
Yep.
Anything here in Columbus, I normally try to go to because I don't got to pay for a hotel room. so like, you know,
Origins.
I went to.
I was gonna say you need to go to Origins.
Well. I am not going to Origins this year. It is literally the only day that we could schedule my wedding.
I was already
signed up for Origins, and we were like back and forth of we can't make this work, and I'm like, we're not going to Origins. End of story.
I guess Origins.
Yeah, lifetime of happiness, lifetime of having like being stuck with like 500 people. Yeah, which one am I going to pick? I'm going to pick lifetime happiness there.
Wise decision, yes.
It was good for my sanity too. So,
this is the first year I think I got to miss Gen Con, and it's incidentally also because of a wedding, not my wedding, right. but my brother's wedding. Yeah, I've been going to Gen Con, except for the pandemic, I've been going straight every single year since like 2008 wow. when someone showed me what conventions were. And mm-hmm. I'm sad to have to miss it, but it is one of those things where it's like, well, you're a best man versus 5 days playing games that you already have.
Yeah.
yeah. Tough choice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I have never been to Gen Con, and I kind of hesitated about going before because like my stuff is more casual party, and like mm-hmm. in my head, those are more Catan and up type mm-hmm. stuff. Mm. But as I've gotten more in the industry, they're like, no, show up. You're do good.
Yeah.
So they finally convinced me, and I pulled the plug and bought a booth for both. And now I got to call the Game Manufacturers Association next week and tell them I can't make Origins.
No.
That's right. They're actually bitch. Here in town, too. So like,
oh, really?
Yeah, they're just north of Worthington. So I've kind of become kind of friends with them because like we just keep running into each other at different sure. board game things here in town. But they're the ones that put on Origins. They're the ones that do the Gamma Expo, which is like the like industry one, not like a consumer facing one. So it's kind of nice having them here in town because like if I really, really need something, I can just drive up and walk in their office and refuse to leave until they do what I want. Which is very effective, I've learned in life, of if you need someone at your job to do something for you, take your laptop and just work out of their office until they do it. They will do it in 5 minutes, just scare you.
It would work with me, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I think we're going to... Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, as an attendee of horror conventions and board game conventions, which ones do you think... Which one do you like better? Or if you like them equally, what do you like about one versus the other as an attendee going to these conventions here? Because I'm not going to make you say that you don't like
yeah.
being one as, you know, as yeah, a graceful that, business person, but like
yes,
attendee-wise.
Exactly. as an attendee, I am definitely going to have to say horror conventions just because...
Wow.
I am a complete sucker for like the autographs and photo yeah. sessions they do
yeah.
with different ones. Like I had Kane Hodder, the guy who plays Jason
Hell
in a
yeah.
lot of them. I had him sign a Don't Get Stabbed and I have it like up on my shelf.
Oh,
so like I'm going to try to get other people to sign and like have one that's like signed by like famous horror movie killers. We got it was like the Scream reunion at Horror Hounds last year. So they like had everyone there. Like Nev, Matthew Lillard, Ski Ulrich,
wow.
JB Kennedy were all there. So we did like a group photo with them. And so it was funny because we go in, like, if you ever done a photo thing, they, like, rush you in and rush you out. Like, mm-hmm. barely have a chance Absolutely. To talk to them. So, like, we rush in, and I'm like, I'm not going to be the annoying guy that tries to talk to him. I'm just going to go in, get my photo, and get out. And so, like, the way I'm standing, Matthew Lillard is, like, behind me, and he, like, puts his hands on my shoulders, and I just absolutely fall in love with him. Like, that moment, I'm like, oh, yeah, this I love Skeet Ulrich, or,
no, Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard.
I thought you loved
him. And I just walked away. I'm like, I've never been, like, one of those, like, people that, like, obsess over, like, celebrities or anything, but I'm in love with Matthew Lillard. If he ever hears this, please email me.
Like, he'll be like, get in line.
Yeah.
He's been a longtime fan. Friend of the show, Matthew Lillard, is he's a frequent guest here on Good Beer.
Man, speaking of getting them in and out when it comes to those things, I heard, like, when Mark Hamill showed up to one of the Comic Cons, like, they were basically just jettisoning, cannonballing people through that room as fast as they could.
I assume you'd have to, because every single person there is like, I'm never going to get another opportunity to talk to him. Yeah. So they're going to try to do it anyways. So that's why they have like 50 people there to like grab you by the arm and pull you out.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Okay, so before we wrap this up, thank you so much, Jordan, for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
We are definitely going to get together at Dankhouse or something. This is not going to be our one and only meeting, I assure you. But before we go, I know you got something to plug, so lay it on me, brother.
Yeah, so I got Nuns with Nunchucks, my latest game. It's going to go on Kickstarter on March 28th. You can go to nunswithnunchucks.com. It takes you to like the campaign page. You can click the button, and it will send you an email and notify you right when it launches. It's going to be awesome. It's got, obviously, Nuns with Nunchucks, but it has, you know, Abraham Lincoln's evil twin brother, Tony. It's got Navy SEAL seal that looks like Rambo. It's just got the craziest fever dream things that I could think ever come up with. So be sure to check it out. You know, it's something I'm really excited on, but working on the longest. You know, I really think this is, like, my next big thing. So be sure to check it out. And then RookieMage.com has all my current games if you're looking for stuff for families, kids, stuff to make your, you know, fit or friends hate you. I've got all that stuff. I even got merch. So, like, if you want a merch that, you know, I just made a shirt that says kicking ass and playing games. So I've got tons of cool stuff there.
Yeah, I'll make sure that all that stuff is in the show notes, and we're going to promote you heavy on the socials. So awesome. Thanks again for coming on. Guys, you got anything else tonight?
No, honestly, I love the opportunity to be on the podcast, and I loved meeting you, Jordan, very much so. And
yeah, me too.
I can't wait to be at Dankhouse. I really can't wait for that, honestly.
Awesome. Great.
Well, once again, thank you so much, Jordan. I appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.